Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 427, as found in your blue hymnal.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
Let us
pray. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the prophet Amos. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman, and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock. And the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Reading from the second letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
King Herod heard of Jesus and his disciples, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah." And others said, "It is a prophet like the one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him, and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in the tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Sometimes you have to let go. It's just the way it is. Sometimes you have to let go. After Dan Frew's funeral yesterday, I was talking with Pastor Sarah Schmidt Lee at First Congregational. Sarah had done a beautiful job with Dan's funeral, and so did our choir. Beautiful singing with their choir. Sarah and I were talking about preaching today and talking about this story about the death of John the Baptist. And she made a point that I remembered but had forgotten, I knew but had forgotten until she reminded me, which is that this is one of the longest stories in the Gospel of Mark. This story goes on for over 300 words. It's very long. And when you stop and think about it, Mark's gospel does not have an infancy narrative. It doesn't tell us about how Jesus was born. And many of the existing manuscripts, ancient manuscripts of Mark's gospel that we have, do not have a resurrection story. We believe that that resurrection story was added later. So if Mark does not take pains to tell us how Jesus was born or how he rises, why does Mark take such pains to tell us how John the Baptist died? What's that about? I believe that there are a couple of reasons for this. Literarily, the story prepares us for Jesus' eventual death. The story reminds us that this religion thing is dangerous business. So that's a piece of what the story tells us. The other thing that the story tells us is that the work of God is done here in our lives and in our world. I've talked with you many times before about how God is involved. God is involved in our world. God is involved in our lives. God is here, not high up and far away. We've discussed this many, many times. But we often sanitize that image and only think about blessings received. And we don't always think about the challenges of letting go as part of our religious work, part of the work of God. Last week, I talked with you about dispassion, or as our Buddhist friends call it, non-attachment. And somebody who attended 8 o'clock told me that I was walking a fine line talking about detachment and the beheading of John the Baptist. But the reality is that the stories that we heard today are stories about people who can't let go, who don't know how to practice some dispassion. Remember that we said last week, dispassion is not a call to not be passionate about things. Dispassion, as our monastic ancestors conceived it, is not the idea that you shouldn't love people or love ideas or enjoy the things that you have. Dispassion is about not clinging so tightly to those things that you start to define yourself by them, and therefore define yourself too small. And in clinging to those things, anybody who challenges them, you define in the tiny description of enemy. And so attachment, or the inability to practice dispassion, is about not the passion, but the clinging, the holding on to, the inability to let go. In ancient Israel, there were three institutions, three classic institutions, and these institutions sometimes got along well, sometimes they were in conflict with each other, and sometimes they were a great big national emotional triangle. And those three institutions were prophets, priests, and kings. Prophets, priests, and kings. And we read the Hebrew Bible and we don't recognize that these three groups sometimes didn't get along. Sometimes they fought with each other. And in the Amos story that we heard today, we have the priest mad at Amos and running to the king, and then going back to Amos and saying, go away. It's a great big national icky emotional triangle. And what happens is that Amos is from Judah, the southern kingdom. Remember that God's people divided into two kingdoms after the death of Solomon. They could not negotiate who would be the next king. And so they ended up dividing into a southern kingdom called Judah and a northern kingdom called Israel. And the northern kingdom did not want to, for various political reasons, travel to Jerusalem, the capital of Judah, to worship God. And so they built their own temple in Bethel so that they wouldn't have to go to Judah to worship. They couldn't let go of the division between their two lands, even though they were one people. And in the northern kingdom was in an era of prosperity, a great deal of prosperity. And Amos, who was born in the southern kingdom, is told by God, look, I want you to go up north, and I want you to preach, and I want you to tell the people in the northern kingdom that I see that they are experiencing a time of prosperity because they're oppressing the poor. And go up and tell them that there's a cost to that. So Amos goes up and he preaches. And God uses the image of the plumb line. And the idea is clear. You're being measured. You're found to be off kilter because of the ways that you oppress the poor. And this is a threat to the temple priesthood. Because wealthy temple goers mean more offering in the charity box, which benefits the temple. So they have a reason to be upset. They have a reason to be upset because this guy from Judah is up here in our face. We don't like it. They complain to the king. The high priest tells Amos, go away. You don't belong here. This is not your land. Go away. Don't want to hear from you. Go prophesy in Judah where you belong. And in the reading that we heard today, Amos says, well, I'm not really a prophet. I'm just a shepherd and I take care of trees. But God told me to come up here and tell you this, so I'm here telling you. It's an interesting book, Amos. On the one hand, it's very clear. Don't oppress the poor to get ahead. The book is completely and entirely unambiguous about that. That said, how does that happen? How do we do that? How do we oppress the poor? Do we oppress the poor? How do we sort that out? How do we understand that? How do we figure that out? How do we analyze the dynamics and figure it out? Is it by going into the temple and telling everyone they're going to die? Probably not the best move. Amos was a little attached to being the rebel. Just as Amaziah was a little attached to the way things are. And so that's one of those challenges, right? It's one of the spiritual challenges. I'm not saying which side was right because I don't know. I do know that God's pretty clear, don't oppress the poor. How we do that as a nation, that's a challenge for us all to figure out. All of us together. And currently our nation is divided because some people say one thing and some people say another. And some people think about how we're going to afford this economically, which is a valid question. And some people say, yeah, but where's our compassion, which is also a valid question. The challenge is, how do we as a nation enter into that conversation with some dispassion? That's what the reading brings up for us. I look at Amos and I think, dude, you invited that response by the way you gave your message. I look at Amaziah and say, dude, he's saying something you should think about. Both of them are true. Both of them. And the only way to sort through it is with a little dispassion. Sometimes you have to let go. Sometimes you have to let go of your commitment to being a rebel. Sometimes you have to let go of your commitment to the way things are. Sometimes you have to let go. And that is the work of spirituality. That is the work of spirituality. In the story of John the Baptist, there's lots of not being able to let go that happens. A lot of dispassion is not present in that story. So Herod the Tetrarch, he's not really the king, he's a tetrarch, which means the land was divided into four by Rome and divided amongst brothers. And so Herod had one of the four sections that was his to be in control of. And his brother Philip was married to Herodias, and he stole her from his brother. So Herod Antipas, brother of Philip, stole Herodias from Philip. You almost have to have a family chart just to keep track of them all, right? And it's classic family drama. This family is attached to their dysfunctional drama. They are committed to it. They are clinging to it. And John the Baptist says, you know, there's this law in Leviticus. You know, Leviticus, this law, it says you're not supposed to marry your brother's wife. And Herodias cannot let that go. She is so completely offended by that she is seeking John's death. She can't let it go. Herod is committed to being a big shot. So it's his birthday, and he has a big party, and he invites all the important people to his birthday party because he's a big shot, and he wants all the important people to be at his party. And in another piece of dysfunctional family drama, has his stepdaughter come and dance a racy dance. Really, dude, seriously, not a good idea for so many reasons. But he does this. And then he is all excited about it, and he wants to show off and be the big shot, so he says a rash promise. I'll give you whatever you want. That was such a wonderful dance. She doesn't know. She goes and asks her mother, who is attached to the idea of getting John the Baptist killed. And so she says, get John's head. Ask for John's head. So she goes and she says, give me John the Baptist's head on a platter. And Herod is attached to being a big shot. And he won't look like such a big shot if he has to say no and renege on the promise he made, rash though it was. And has John killed. They all can't let go of something. And it leads to all kinds of tragedies and evils and dysfunction. Because they can't let go. The challenge in these readings, all jokes aside, is the challenge of our ability to sometimes be dispassionate, to sometimes be non-attached, to stop clinging to the things that we like or love or define ourselves by and let go. Because God is here and has a bigger understanding and a bigger definition and a bigger love for us than we could possibly imagine. The problem with the clinging, the problem dispassion seeks to address, is that the clinging makes us smaller than God would have us be. Herod could have been a great and godly ruler, but he needed to be a big shot. He clung to that idea, and he became a petty tyrant. That's the difference that attachment makes. That's why there's a call in our tradition to dispassion.
As you are able, please stand and face east, the direction of sunrise and a symbol of the resurrection, as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, truly begotten of the Father, true from God, light from light, true God from true God, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace we pray to you, Lord God.
For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors.
And for those who are alone.
We pray for Donald, our president, and for the legislative and judicial branches of our government. We pray for Stephen, Courtney, James, Joe, Nathan, and Sarah, who serve in our armed forces, and for all people everywhere.
The nation and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the improvement of our societies, our natural environment, and our hearts.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
We pray for those who are addicted and those in recovery. We pray for the sick, especially Mike, James, Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, Jennifer, George, Harlan, Hope, Charlotte, Dan, Pam, Dorothy, Caroline, Christine, Ken, Cliff, Carol, Mary, Caitlin, Helen, Jessica, Rusty, Pete, Linda, and Sid. We pray for victims of natural disaster.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth. For Michael, our presiding bishop, and Wayne, our bishop. For Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael in deacon's formation, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in His church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, praying especially for Kalamazoo, Portage, and surrounding communities. For the vibrancy of our witness to Christ's love, and for the courage and capacity to serve in Christ's name.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life, for those who are celebrating wedding birthdays, Patricia, Aaron, Susan, Carol, Jason, Stan, Elizabeth, and Peter. For those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, Anya and Kenneth, Victoria and Charles, Laura and Charles. For those who are celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Hannah, Nancy, Elise, and Mary.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom, remembering especially Donald and Roberto.
Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
We put their trust in you.
Loving Jesus, protect and sustain us with your hand. Open the door of your love that, sealed with your wisdom, we may be free to serve you with joy.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in everlasting life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge the divine name. But do not forget to do good and to share what you have, for such offerings are pleasing to God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your Spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death, and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Craig and Chris, in the name of this congregation, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread and one cup.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
As you are able, please stand.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.